There's a shortage nationwide of affordable housing, so why not build to rent housing? That's a great idea, and that's what our guest has done on today's show. We'll get to that in just a moment. But hey, everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor, and welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. This is the show where we help you build financial intelligence so you can take control of your finances, empower yourself to go out there and make a change in your life. Now, we've had a lot of guests on the show. We've never really talked about the idea of building to rent, building entire, you know, subdivisions in order to rent them out because of this nationwide shortage. I have a special guest on the show today. His name is Bruce McNeilage. He is the co-founder of Kinlock Partners, LLC, and they build homes from the ground up. They work with a lot of different big companies who will come and swoop in and buy up an entire subdivision. So he knows this topic well. And I want to welcome Bruce into the show. Bruce, nice to see you today. Welcome into the show.
Clayton, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a real treat having you here. So, Bruce, why don't you give our audience an overview? How did you get involved in real estate development? Take us back maybe to some of your first deals.
Sure. I was a financial advisor for most of my career. In 2005, I came up with the idea of building brand new houses, renting them out, cash flowing them with the idea at some point in the future that I would sell them. And so we started in 2005 and 2006 as a small investor. I got to about 57 brand new houses in the Middle Tennessee, Nashville area. That portfolio was purchased 4 years ago by a publicly traded REIT. And during that time period, we did about 400 houses between Nashville and Atlanta. And we've recently gone out to Greenville, Spartanburg, Columbia, South Carolina, and also Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina.
Wow. So this is an interesting topic, obviously, in the headlines lately, and I want to dive into this and what's actually going on in the marketplace right now. So a couple of headlines in the past few weeks about this shortage of homes. Now, if anyone watches this show knows I like to buy, you know, affordable houses kind of in well-established neighborhoods. That's what I usually do, those brick, you know, sort of tree-lined streets. They have old growth trees because they've been there for, you know, post-World War II houses. That's what I think makes up a bulk of my portfolio of properties. But a couple of articles recently highlighting that it's becoming increasingly difficult to find those types of deals on a larger volume scale. And these larger hedge funds are now buying, they're having a difficult time trying to buy them up. So instead, they're deciding to build them. Can you speak about that? What are you seeing in the market right now?
Sure. So the low-hanging fruit is gone. All of the short sales, all of the foreclosures and the houses that were being sold on the courthouse steps, all that's gone. And so the appetite for these large hedge funds and REITs still remains. It creates more and more shortages of houses in the United States. And so people like us are being engaged to build the houses and sell them directly to the funds. Or in our instance, we're building them up for our own portfolio, cash flowing them with the idea that we may sell a larger portfolio to the institutional owners. And so that's what we're seeing in the marketplace. And quite frankly, it's throughout the country in the major cities that these funds concentrate on.
So those short sales are gone. Those foreclosures are gone. Is that, what does that tell you about the current state of affairs? Is that good? Is that bad?
Sure. Well, all it means is all of the houses that were beat up and the cities that really had some financial correction from 08, 09 and whatnot have recovered. And they've recovered to a point that the cap rates, the amount of money we can make on the houses has gotten smaller and smaller. So the rehabs, the houses like that, where you could buy them and do large renovations and make money, that, quite frankly, has diminished. It's almost all gone away. So people need more product, and there is not enough housing in the United States. So quite frankly, people like us and the larger funds are starting to build our own and acquire them both by manufacturing and building the house themselves or cutting deals with large national or regional builders to deliver houses at a discount and then, of course, cash flow those in their portfolios.
So how did you know that that would be profitable, smart, given the current state of the market? We keep hearing about, oh, is there trouble in the housing market, trouble in the housing market? You know, if that's a speculative play, you're taking a gamble on making sure that these things can then be sold. What was the you know, what was some of the data you were looking at said, no, this is a really smart move here?
So for six decades, the ownership in the United States of homes, the death of the American dream has been happening right before us. And people own less. There's a smaller percentage of home ownership in America now as there's ever been. So that creates the ability, and that provides us a much larger pool in which to draw from, because people aren't owning their house. They're borrowing and they're renting and whatnot. Because quite frankly, maybe they can't get mortgages. Maybe they've had short sales or foreclosures, bankruptcies, things like that. And so we have a larger pool of people in which to draw from, to rent the houses to, and that's creating better cash flows for us. Again, there's limited supply, and it's driving those people to us that want to have a nice house, but simply can't afford to buy. And so they look to rent from people like us.
So talk about the broader market in this play right now. What are you seeing more broadly in the housing market? We keep hearing housing bubble this, you know, I see literally conflicting news stories every day. I was scrolling through my feed today and I saw, wow, 2018 was the one of the best years of housing on record for sales and pricing. And then I see that, well, now we've got, you know, increase in mortgage rates and people aren't buying as many houses. So what's your general sense across the country right now where we are?
So a lot of organizations, media outlets and whatnot, they talk about home sales are down. They're down year over year. The reason why home sales have been down is there aren't enough homes to sell. You just don't have enough inventory at the certain price point. And we work in the $200,000 to $350,000 range. And although that seems high as far as prices go, that's really middle class, entry level, or one step above entry level housing. And truthfully, there's so much demand that people like builders, people like folks like us, we just can't meet the demand. So, of course, that's driving up prices. But what happened 5 or 6 years ago is developers could not get loans. They didn't buy enough land. So they haven't prepared pads and subdivisions and whatnot to build on. And you're starting to see those people start to catch up, but they're catching up being 5 years behind. So again, there's not enough market, enough product in the marketplace. That may look like prices are going down. Inventory and sales are going down, but sales are going down, quite frankly, because we don't have enough housing. If we had enough housing, you'd see sales at a double digit increase around the country, but we don't have that.
So let's talk about build to rent. So when you look at the data on building properties, what things need to make sense for you before you're going to take on a project? You know, something crosses your desk, what sparks your interest? How do you start that discussion?
Well, first of all, we want to be in an area where there's growth, both job growth, economics, people moving into the area. So we want to be in an area that's growing, good jobs, good schools. Schools are incredibly important. We need to be in an area where people seek to live in that area to get their kids in higher quality schools. Conversely, we get a better deal on houses in areas that don't have the highly rated schools. And what we found is, although we get a better price on those houses, our yield isn't as good because we have less and less people looking for those houses. So the build to rent area or buying to rent area is really continuing to grow. And I don't see a slowdown in the future because, again, people might have been dinged up by short sales, foreclosures, divorce. They can't qualify for a mortgage, or they might not have the 5 or 10% down. Interest rates are going up. So that's only making our business, the build-to-rent business, grow. And I don't see any change in that in the future. Now, what we look for, other than the good schools, areas that are growing, we only buy 4 and 5 bedroom houses. And people might say, why do you only buy 4 or 5 bedroom houses? If you live in the suburbs and you have 2 kids, a 3-bedroom house right there, you're maxed out on. You might have a mother-in-law. You might use a home office. And so a 3-bedroom house only appeals to a small segment of society, of what people are looking for in houses. We do 4 and 5-bedroom houses, and that's enough house where a person doesn't have to move or trade up. They already have enough bedrooms to grow into if a lifestyle thing changes, like mother-in-law or having another child. And we also get more money in rent from those houses. Even if they're not larger, the more bedrooms you have, the easier it is to rent. And also, the more profitable it is because you're getting and demanding a higher monthly rental price.
So 4 and 5 bedrooms, interesting. And then I guess the hope is the tenants are going to stay for many, many years, and they're going to put down roots. Their kids will be in school there for a number of years, right?
That's correct. And so we keep an average tenant in a brand new house 6 years. Industry average is about 2 to 2.5 years. Whether it's a 4 or 5 bedroom, people are going to stay longer. They're going to establish roots. They're going to be in a neighborhood for a longer period of time. And what's nice about that is it gives them sense of community. Kids get used to schools. The husbands and wives make friends in the neighborhood. And so you don't have the same transition where people are moving in and out of houses based on lifestyle changes or increased size of their households. And so, yes, they stay longer and it's a more profitable business for us by improvement.
So let's talk about some of the pricing here and what are you putting into these houses? You're building entire new subdivisions. So we're putting in a park in the middle with a pool. Where are these located and what types of houses actually are you putting together here?
Sure. So our houses are primarily in the suburbs, all within about 30 miles or 30 minutes of the urban core of a city. And many times the people are not, they're not commuting to the urban core. They're commuting to an area around the city. So really many times our tenants only have 15 or 20 minute drives. Traditionally, we don't put in amenities in the neighborhood if we're building the entire neighborhood, but many times we are doing a portion of the neighborhood, maybe the back portion that's left to sell. And usually they're pools, clubhouses, playgrounds for kids. And that's really nice because, again, that is something that people want and they ask for. And I will tell you the negative about that from cash flowing a house is you have higher HOA fees. So you really have to balance that. But what we put in houses that really make them attractive, every one of our houses have granite countertops. Every one of our houses has a 4-piece stainless steel appliance package. You get a microwave, refrigerator, dishwasher, and range. The range is always a smooth top range. We do tile in our bathrooms, garage door openers, all the little things that you might not get with either a used house or an entry-level house. We really make the inside of our houses highly desirable with quality, high-end finishes and materials.
Interesting. I mean, this kind of blows my mind a little bit because I talk about, you know, the A-class neighborhood can cause some A-class problems. Talk me off of that ledge a little bit because you're dealing with HOAs. Can those shift make decisions in your homeowners association that adversely affect the landlord? A lot of moving parts. You've got garage door openers. You've got a lot of things you're having to put money into to maintain as a landlord. So talk me off that ledge a little bit, Bruce.
So the goal is that we turn the house over to someone and all they need is a toothbrush. I forgot to mention we do the 2-inch faux wood blinds, ceiling fans, anything you would need to make a house a better experience or a higher quality house to live in without having to do anything is what we do. As far as any pushback from the associations or the neighborhoods, we don't use for rent signs. We've never used for rent signs. So instantly you can't identify our houses as rental houses. We also fertilize the lawns, make sure we plant a few extra trees, encourage our tenants to plant flowers. So many times when you drive down the street of a community where we own some houses in, you can't pick our houses out than the owner's houses. And quite frankly, sometimes theirs are not taken care of as well as ours. And so if I'm doing a good job, and that's because if I'm doing a good job, you're driving down the street and you can't pick my houses out. That's my goal. And also I want my people to have pride of ownership. I want them to treat my houses as good as I would treat them. And I think a lot of them do that because they're brand new, but also they see themselves many times buying the house from the future. So they actually treat the houses as if it's their own.
Are you doing any kind of a rent-to-own program right out of the gate with folks, or is that something you discuss with tenants down the line?
So we do something that's unique. We will not accept a deposit of $5,000 or $10,000 and give someone a definite time of when they have to exercise it, whether it be 12 or 24 months. Our agreement with our tenants is at any time in the future, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, we will sell you the house a few thousand dollars under fair market value under appraisal will help some closing costs. Because truthfully, that's what we're doing. I tell people I don't want to collect houses like baseball cards. My job is to cash flow my properties, get them in the hands of the people that want them, and then make a good profit in between that time. But at any point in the future, our tenants have the ability to buy our houses with no limitations, whether it be, again, a number of years, or I always tell them if they win the lottery, they can buy the house next month. Absolutely no restrictions will tear up the lease, and they can purchase the house.
What kind of projects are you working on now as you forecast out? How far out do you forecast for where you're going to be building your next projects? What do your plans look like?
So, yes, we try to buy the dirt. We try to buy the land at least 12 months in advance, prepare the land, utilities, roads, things like that. So we're ready to start building on it within 9 months or so. Now, it takes 3 or 4 months to deliver the house. And so it's like landing airplanes. We're constantly developing land, building houses, renting houses. And what you want to do is you want to get ahead of demand. So every month you're delivering houses, every month you're renting houses, and you've got to go get the next neighborhood before the last one's rented out. So what right now what we're concentrating on is doing small subdivisions or the back part of maybe a master plan community where we have the whole section of one part of a master plan community. So in essence, it becomes a village. I call it Kinlock Village, where all the people are tenants. They all move in within a few months of each other because the houses are finished within a few months of each other. So there is part of a there's part of community. And because everybody rents houses, there's no moniker of, oh, you're a renter, we're an owner, we don't want to be around people like you. Everybody rents the houses. So nobody is looking down at anyone because they're renting a house versus being an owner.
Right. So in those communities, everyone's renting in there. How often are those popping where you will have owners popping in there? And how does that change the dynamic of the neighborhood?
So in our community, we only sell a few houses every year to tenants because, quite frankly, many of them don't have the skill set. They haven't done a financial course like, you know, Dave Ramsey type of thing where they're taught how to be successful. And so many people just never have the skill set to buy a house, and that's fine. Some people do. And so our goal, again, is in our community, our self-paying community, or our entire community, is to get those hands, those houses in the hands of people as quickly as possible, and then eventually turn over the neighborhood where a larger and larger percentage of houses every year is owned by people that used to be tenants. And the idea would be in a few years that it's an ownership situation where there are no more rentals, that either we sell it to the tenant that's in the house, or when the tenant moves out of the house, instead of re-renting it, we actually sell that to the next person.
Wonderful. So where do you see the market going over the next 2 to 3 years? What is your data telling you about the health of the housing market?
So we operate in the Southeast, which is obviously a highly desirable area of the country, and also the Southwest. We don't see both a demand or price increases and appreciation in some of middle market, the area they call the Rust Belt. And so we see a lot of people moving to states that have better weather, better opportunity to play golf, things like that all year round, and jobs. There are so many automobile manufacturing jobs that are coming to the Southeast, and so many other types of industry that's moving out of the North and the Midwest that we really see a large, large amount of growth. And predicting a very high, robust increase in demand and also in growth in the Southeast. And that's why my business is expanding in the Southeast. And truthfully, we're only located in the Southeast. That's only where we want to buy houses. We want to get deep and become bigger in each one of our markets versus maybe spreading ourselves too thin across other markets throughout the country that may not be as desirable.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Bruce, what's next for you guys, and how can people connect with you if I want to come in and buy an entire subdivision from you? How can I connect with you?
Sure. So you can reach us at kinlockpartners.net. It's K-I-N-L-O-C-H, partners.net. We've got a great website. It talks about our story, some articles and media that we've been in, and also it gives you an inventory of houses we have available now to rent. And of course, any house that's on that site is also available to purchase when the house becomes vacant in the future. If somebody wants to buy a small portfolio of houses, 5 or 6 houses from us, we can handle that. If somebody wants to buy a larger portfolio of 50 houses, we can do something like that. I think it's very important that you get pre-qualified to buy in those houses, whether it's on a residential basis, buying a few or buying a larger amount of houses. And, you know, a person that I view highly of in this market around the country that does a lot of business is Dan Krause from Churchill Mortgage. And I would highly recommend working with Dan or someone like that that's really knowledgeable with investors, not only just retail folks that are buying one house, but it's very, very important that you get pre-approved and you know what your purchasing power is. So you know how many assets you can buy. Right. And then you can kind of predict cash flow and look at things. And of course, the goal would be if you buy 5 houses today, you use the positive cash flow, buy another one and another one. And eventually, hopefully you own 10 or 15 houses, you cash flow them. And that's really making a difference in your wealth, making a difference in how you're going to retire in the future. And we see a lot of growth. And truthfully, we just don't see an end in sight. Owning single family rental properties, in my belief, and again, I'm investing my own money in this business, in my belief, is going to be one of the best paths to building wealth and building retirement is owning these type of assets.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And that's the basis of my entire portfolio as well. Thank you so much, Bruce, for joining us on the show. I really appreciate it.
Clayton, thank you so much.
Real pleasure to have you here. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing to the show and making us part of your commute on a regular basis or your workout and helping you build financial intelligence. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.